Well, morning, everybody. For much of the last week and more, as Rachel said, we've been in a field, sometimes the only people there, and it's been very green. It's very green here, but there's a lot of people. But it's lovely to see you all, and it's lovely to be back. And I want to do a little bit of a rewind to kind of locate us here this morning. Since last summer, we've been talking about ourselves as saints on the move, thinking about following God's lead as he's brought us into freedom and reconciliation, and as he's stirred us to look out more into our town and communities, to be a people of blessing. And this year, as we've headed towards Pentecost, a little while back we started this, we have sensed that God wants to bless us more and bless us with a greater experience of the Holy Spirit. That's for us as individuals, that's for us as a church, that's for us as we look out in our town to see God's wonderful work out there in our community around us. The Holy Spirit changing lives and breaking through. And this is really wonderful stuff, really exciting stuff. And we want to keep pressing into it, pressing towards all that God has for us, celebrating what he has done already, the good things that the Spirit's led us to and in already, and seeking more. So that's kind of the big picture of where we are now. And then our preaching in recent weeks has been about the Holy Spirit. And today I want to think about the Holy Spirit and worship. And I suppose a reasonable start would be to say, well, what is worship? The English word worship is worth-ship. It's giving worth to something or somebody. Dictionary definition from my computer. There's three definitions. To treat somebody or something as divine and show respect by engaging in acts of prayer and devotion. That's number one. Number two is to take part in religious service. That's what we do. Or in a religious service like we are here. And then there's a number three definition, which isn't religious at all. It is to love, admire, or respect somebody or something greatly. And perhaps excessively and unquestioningly. Well, that's your favourite actor or your pop star who you love, or considering the vows that some made on their wedding days, that's also your wife in some cases. I'm not sure about the excessively and excessively is probably fine. Unquestioningly, not so sure about that one. But that's the dictionary definition of worship as a word. But for us as Christians, we would want to say, well, what is Christian worship? And the answer that kind of pops into our heads very quickly then is to say, oh, well, that's singing Christian songs. We have a time of worship in our service. We have worship CDs that we listen to in the car, or playlists if you're very modern, or tapes if you're very ancient. And oh, who has tapes still? Own up. Yes, I don't think we've got a tape recorder anymore. And this is worship, it's true. I mean, it's perfectly good use of the word, but it's not the whole picture. That picture is way too small if we just stuck with that. Instead, maybe we'd say, ah, no, that's not the right answer. As people who know our Bibles, we would say, well, Christian worship is all of life. Look at Romans chapter 12, where Paul says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship, or your spiritual worship. That's that's what it's about. The whole of our lives are worship. And that's another pretty good answer. In a sense, worship can be part of all of life, and many parts of our life can be lived as worship. But we can also be miles away from God in our hearts and in our concentration, in our lives, not living worshipfully at all, plenty of the time. In fact, I think we can even not necessarily worship when we are in church and singing Christian songs, because we might be thinking about lunch or the hairstyle of the person in front of us, and we realise there's nothing about God in this now, we're just singing along. So not all of life is automatically worship, but it's still the case that our lives are worship to God. But actually, the whole of our lives would also be far too big a subject to preach about in one day. So I'm not going to do that one. But I want to focus today on something between the two, which is our worship when we gather together as fellow Christians, what we do here in church, like all of what we do here in church. I want to think about how our worship can be deepened and more real because we're open to the work of the Holy Spirit in us as individuals and in us as a whole church gathered together, and what difference that makes. I want to take a moment to look at worship in the Bible. The Old Testament has what we might say is the groundwork for Christian worship, and there's a lot of about worship there. It's the roots of our worship. And generally in the Old Testament, it's to do with going to places and about key people who make worship possible, priests and Levites and people like that. And it's about activities to get involved in, like sacrificing animals or special meals or bringing God the first fruits of a harvest or camping out in tents at certain times. It's wonderful things. And many of them may seem rather strange to us now. We think, well, what's that all about? But they were really great ways of people living with God at the centre of their lives and being drawn back to him and being reminded of their dependence on him. So there were the sort of set forms of worship, but there was also a freer kind of worship in the Old Testament. Look at all those psalms, which are full of praise for God. And sometimes we have moments where people are just all out for God in a way that's not fixed at all. Nikki last week was talking about King David, who was dancing before God only in his underwear as the Ark of the Covenant was brought back into Jerusalem. Well, that was worship in its own way. It's not required of all of us, but that was worship. Then when we get to the New Testament, in the Gospels, we find that Jesus and his followers actually worshipped like everybody else did in the synagogues. But Jesus was getting people ready for a big change. Worship wasn't going to be about where you went and what you did. It was going to be about who and how you worshipped as a person. We got a bit of that in our gospel reading when Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman, which was a big surprise in itself. I mean, that whole story, there's a whole lot you could go into there, and we kind of jumped into the middle of the story. But in it, Jesus says to the Samaritan woman that the time will come when it won't be about going to worship in Jerusalem as the Jews did, or at Mount Gerizim, which is what the Samaritans did. And it won't be about the various actions and activities that were involved in going to those places. The time was coming, the time was here even, when true worshippers would worship in the Spirit and in truth. And why was the time already here? Well, because that time came with Jesus. Jesus who brought new understanding of God as our Father. Jesus who sent the Holy Spirit to be present with us. And Jesus himself was worthy of worship. And that was something which Jesus' followers were gradually realizing. And actually, just a couple of weeks back, we had a reading where the penny fully drops for them. And it's right at the end when Jesus was about to be taken up into heaven in Matthew 28. And we read, when they saw him, they worshipped him. That's radical for Jews at that time to be worshipping a person. They must have realized or had something that they put together afterwards as well, that Jesus was God in their midst. In the rest of the New Testament, as the church is beginning its life, we don't actually have a full description of what worship was like, but we have hints, like in our Ephesians reading this morning, which talked about psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit and singing and making music from the heart. And there was also prayer, as we read about in many places in Acts. And they would have been reading from the scriptures as they were sort of similar to the worship in the synagogue. And no doubt there was also the passing on of the teaching of the apostles as part of it, what we have now as a sermon in a sense. And there was the sharing of bread and wine together, which happened, and the gifts of the Spirit in use as well. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul says, when you come together, each of you has a hymn, a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. And we can see that our worship of today has grown out of that worship of the New Testament church. It's a wonderful connection back to those early days of the church, maybe, but far more importantly, it's a connection with God. And that's what is at the heart of worship. It is a connection with God, and that's where the Holy Spirit can be so much at work in us as individuals and as a church, revealing God to us and helping us in our worship. So the Holy Spirit is vital for worship, but we need to remember to allow the Holy Spirit to work, because left to ourselves, we can get too familiar with the form of what we do or the favourite song that we just love singing and forget about our connection with God. There's plenty of football chants that people love singing, and that's not connecting them with God. So there's more that we need to keep hold of as we worship. Worshipping in the Spirit and in truth is what God calls us to be, rather than something that we love and feel secure in, which is good, but only that would not be enough. So what does the Holy Spirit do to enable our worship? If we're worshipping the Father in spirit and in truth, what will that mean? How will opening ourselves to the presence and the work of the Holy Spirit make us truer worshippers? Well, let's say that we start by praying before we come to church, or as we are at the beginning of a service. If we pray, Holy Spirit, help me, help us to worship today. Well, what might we expect if we pray that prayer? Firstly, I think we'll be turned towards Jesus. All humans are worshippers. That's kind of how we're made. We worship something. But who or what do we worship? It can be lots of things, but the Holy Spirit focuses us on Jesus. Sets our hearts on fire with love for Jesus is one of the ways that one of the prayers puts it that we pray quite often here in church on a Tuesday morning. We're focused on Jesus in place of the other things which might take our time and our love and our devotion in a way that stops those being set on God as they should be. And it's interesting, actually, that the way the Holy Spirit points Jesus out to us, in some ways, they're the ways that are there already. As we sing a hymn, we may suddenly be drawn towards something in that. In the service of communion, the whole shape of this service that we're in now is shaped around meeting with Jesus. I'm sure I've said it before, but I was just thinking it again. As we gather together, we're gathering as the body of Christ, so we're gathering as Jesus' people, and we focus on Jesus in that way as we gather at the beginning of the service and have the first words of gathering. And then as the gospel is read, those churches where they process the gospel into the middle of the congregation before they read it, is to just say the gospel, all about Jesus, the word is in the middle of us. And so we're focusing on Jesus again in the word that we read. And then in communion, we receive the bread and the wine. Well, that's really focusing on Jesus in an amazing way. And then at the end, we're sent out. The dismissal at the service is really important because it's taking Jesus out with us into the world. So the Holy Spirit can stir us up to remind us of these things and focus us on Jesus as we worship. So the Holy Spirit helps us turn towards Jesus. And then I think also we'll know our standing because of the work of the Holy Spirit, our standing with God, because the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us to say, Abba, Father, as we heard in a reading last Sunday. So the Holy Spirit helps us recognise who we are in relation to God and what that means. We can worship the Holy God, the one who created and sustains everything, who is awesome, And he wants to call us Dad. That's what Abba was used as. Day-to-day name for Dad. That's quite incredible. And the Holy Spirit helps us to do that. Helps us to realise that. So the Holy Spirit is helping us to know who we are as we worship. And the Holy Spirit will keep us alert. Worth remembering in the middle of a long sermon sometimes. No, I don't mean that. I mean that I don't think that we'll just coast through worship, missing things of what we're saying and doing, if the Holy Spirit is at work in us. It won't be all lunch and hairstyles if the Holy Spirit has stirred us around. It will be the Holy Spirit tuning us in to God and alerting us of the things that God cares about and of the way that we're bringing worship and praise to God and the way that we pray, stirring us up to pray in particular ways. We're much more responsive to God. So with the empowering of the Holy Spirit, we'll be really present to God in our worship. And that is wonderful because worship is all about an encounter with God. It's not just doing stuff or singing stuff. It's a connection between us and the creator of the universe. Sometimes we'll be aware of that. We'll be right there with it. And actually that can blow our minds when we feel that close connection with God as we worship. But I think other times, if we're honest, we can sometimes feel that we're just going through the motions of worship. And it may be that sometimes we need to think about that and stop and do something about it. The words in the Bible in the original Hebrew and Greek for worship are about bowing down, bowing your head, you know, flat on your face, that sort of stuff, which would be what you'd do to a king or a ruler, or they're about serving. So these sort of words are what worship is about as it's written in the Bible. And sometimes we need to stop and say, whoa, I need to take this seriously. But there are other times when we find that actually we haven't got it in us to be that connected almost. I think that sometimes we feel we'd love to be able to worship really, but we're just somehow we're not there. And that can be the way things are when tough things are going on in life. And I think the amazing thing that happens there is that as we show up and just do the stuff, well, God, this connection is both ways. And God connects with us as we faithfully turn up and do and be. And we may not realize we're doing this with all the enthusiasm or with all the connection that we sometimes have. But God reaches to us. And that's part of the connection between us, the encounter with God that we have in worship. So worship is an encounter with God. And then with the empowering of the Holy Spirit, the church will be built up by the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. Some of these are what you could say a low key, a prompting of something to say to somebody, an encouragement that we might give to somebody, some wise insight that the Holy Spirit might give us in the moment in a conversation over coffee or something like that. The Holy Spirit helps us as we pray, as people who prepare the prayers will find that the Spirit gives them words to hold our church's prayers. As we pray individually, we may find that. As we're praying with somebody, we may find that. That the Holy Spirit gives us the words that we say. And sometimes the Spirit gives us groans that words can't express to pray instead of words. I think if you're the person who's involved in some of these things, saying something to somebody where you just think maybe God wants to say that, or if the Holy Spirit gives you that burden of groaning prayer, you don't call these low-key things because they are quite big things to be involved in, big things to do. But in a sense, they are the things which can happen more quietly somewhere around the church that we're not necessarily aware of. But there are other gifts that the Spirit gives which would be more public. And I think we shouldn't be afraid of those. I know we shouldn't be afraid of those, even though the church as a whole has been through seasons when they're more clearly around and other seasons when they're not. And I guess that in a sense we could say that we've been through a season when there haven't been so much in action. But let's not think that the Holy Spirit has stopped giving these gifts. And let's together discover what it might mean at this time to respond faithfully if God does give to us, to members of our church community in the middle of a service, some gift which is more public. It would always be something that God brings, and how we have to work out how we respond faithfully to that. Whether it's a word of prophecy or a word of knowledge that somebody would feel that they need to give from the front of church. Whether it would be speaking or singing in tongues, something like that, which sometimes you sort of go, oh my goodness, what's going on here? But actually, the Holy Spirit gives these things for the building up of the church. And we would love to see our church built up, wouldn't we? So it's being open to what that would mean. Even the bits which we're not quite sure how that works, or you know, it's sort of outside our comfort zone. Let's remember the Holy Spirit is quite practiced at this through history as well, and knows what builds the church up. And so let's be open to those things that the Holy Spirit might bring, which are the gifts of God, the gifts of the Spirit at work. Well, I said earlier that worship is an encounter with God through the work of the Holy Spirit. And as a sort of final thing, if we encounter God, then we will be changed. It may not be as radical as when Moses met with God, and when he came out afterwards, his face was shining so much that everybody asked him to put a veil on, please, because they couldn't bear it. But we will be changed, and we will be changed ourselves, and we will be changed as a church as we encounter God, enabled by the Holy Spirit. If we encounter God, and we will be able to make a difference in the world. The rest of our lives will be different. The way that we impact the world out there will be different. And that's why the dismissal in this service and many of our services is so important. We say, go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ, amen. And we love that bit, don't we? It's a real sort of tying the end off. But actually it says go in peace. Well, if we're talking about the original word for peace, that would be shalom, which is like a whole putting right of things peace. So go with God's putting right of things to love and serve the Lord out there. Take what you've had, take it out there, do the stuff. In the name of Christ, amen, we all say. And let's then do it, because that's what the Holy Spirit can enable us to do. As we meet with God, encounter God in worship through the Holy Spirit, so not only is our worship here changed, but the way that we live the rest of our lives is changed as well. Let's expect more in our worship. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to work in us as we worship. Let's prepare more eagerly for meeting together and meeting with God in worship. Because if the Holy Spirit is enabling our worship and we are responding, then we will know who we are in God. We'll be alert to God's concerns. We will know how to pray. We will be built up as a church, and we will be enabled to make a difference for God in the world. And all the while, we will be giving glory and worth to our awesome God as we worship, so these amazing things happen. Isn't God generous like that? I think we'd all love to have some of that going on in our church and in our lives. So let's be changed. Let's learn to be truer worshippers as individuals and a church, worshipping God in the Spirit and in truth. And let's pray now. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence with us. We thank you that you turn our hearts and our minds to Jesus. We thank you that you tell us that we can call God our Father. We thank you that you give us your gifts. We thank you that you alert us to your things, the things of God. We pray that you would enable us in our worship this day and whenever we worship together. And we pray that you would change us to be more longing for your presence and more able to live your life, to live a life which brings your change in the world of our day-to-day in the week ahead. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.